You ever get tired of the repetition of Christmas? Same old, same old? Huh? It does seem like that, doesn't it? There's same old, you know. Same tradition, same songs, same long waits in line, same old, same old. Well, a few days before Christmas, a couple of guys, you know, were getting really tired of the same old, same old, and their wives wanted them to go Christmas shopping. I don't know, sometimes it seems like the wives never get tired of going Christmas shopping. Us men, we don't like going Christmas shopping. How many men like to go Christmas shopping? If you raise your hands, always one. Yeah, you know, I'm not one to stand in line. I don't like lines. As you can tell, I'm not a very patient individual at times. I'm not one to stand in line. I'm not one to. It's just really difficult at times for me. Well, I forgot to dismiss Junior Church. They all left anyhow. Okay, boy. I wonder why everybody was leaving me. You know, it's like, you know, did I do something, say something wrong already? I didn't even get started. Huh? I have my pants on. Yeah. Those of you that were here last week, you heard that story about the pants. You know, I'm gonna tell a secret. Ann leaned over to me, Ann, don't get embarrassed, but because I thought it was funny, I told Dave already. When Dave told us a story that he had to dream that everybody left, you know, and had gone before he got a chance to start to preach. When he come out to preach, he didn't have his pants on. Ann leaned over and said, maybe we ought to tell him his zipper's down. I told Dave that this morning, and Dave said, I'm paranoid about that anyhow. He said, if you'd have said that in church, he said, I'd have panicked. isn't it great to have fun in church? Well, anyhow, same old, same old. These two guys are getting a little tired, and their wives wanted to go Christmas shopping, and they said to their wives, they said, you know what? You go Christmas shopping. We don't want to go. We're going to go fishing instead. They're on the Oregon coast, you know, and Christmas time in the Oregon coast can get a little hectic and a little wild. So they got in their boat, and they went out, and, you know, they were out there fishing. All of a sudden, a storm come up across the sea, and the wind started blowing, and the boat flipped over. And they're out there, and they're treading water, and they're in the icy water, and they're trying to get their sailboat to deeper water that they can get it to flip up. But they're deep in mud, and they're bouncing against the hull, and they're really, you know, looking at life here, and they're seeing no way out. And one guy leans over and says to the other guy, he says, "You know what? Sure beats Christmas shopping." We get caught up in the same old, same old. And, you know, for many of us, we'd still say that sure beats Christmas shopping. You know. Christmas is, for many, is a difficult time. It's a time of disappointment. It's a time of sadness. It's a time of remembrance. It can be a time of repetitiveness, you know. Anybody like to watch the Hallmark Channel? I like to watch the Hallmark Channel, okay? I've been watching Christmas movies for over a month already. Same ones I saw last year, most of them, and the year before, you know? And you start wondering, you know, and you look and you say, why do I watch a movie that I've seen before? Well, you know, it's like, why do I read the Bible? I read it before, right? Because I might get something new out of it that I didn't see before. You know, so, the same old sometimes, you know, it can be tough. But I want to tell you a story this morning about a man, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. And I may or may not go through it all, but if you've got the scripture there, you can see we're talking about a guy named Zacharias today. Now, before I get into this, I want you to understand this background. Okay, Zacharias was a high priest. Okay, at this time period, there was probably about 20,000 of them that were designated high priest. Okay, so Zacharias was one of many. He wasn't, you know, the only high priest, and he was one of many. And Zechariah, who was in the time of Herod the king, and he belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron. Okay, so they were both upright in the sight of God, and they were both very, you know, strong, faithful people. And so we look here and we see the scripture says, in the days of Herod the king, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. He had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God. Wait a minute, how can they be righteous? Somebody told me this morning in Sunday school that no one can be righteous. They were righteous in the sight of God. Does that mean they were perfect? Does that mean they were without sin? What's that mean? It means they were righteous in the sight of God. They were living a life of faithfulness to God. They were righteous in the sight of God. See, we get caught up in humanness side of righteousness, and we say, well, we can't be righteous because we're not perfect, or we're humans. Or not. Righteousness in the sight of God is what? A person who is living 100% totally committed their life to God. Okay? One who is serving and loving and trusting in God. They were righteous. I didn't say it, okay? The scripture says it. All right? So that's just a side. That's not even in my message. I was just, see, as I was reading that, though, this morning, that hit me, you know, because we talked about it a little bit. And we typically look at righteousness as something that can't be achieved. But these two were righteous in the sight of God. They were living a life for God. Didn't mean they were perfect or were totally sin-free. It means they were righteous in God's eyes. And so Zacharias got chosen to go in and present incense on the altar. All right. Now, I want you to understand this whole process. It's a history lesson, too, okay? And how many like history? I like history. Okay. All right. Now, this is a history lesson in the Bible. Somebody threw their pen down here. It's not mine, but I know I'll step on it, and there'll be ink all over our floor because I can't stand still. All right. Zacharias was one of 20,000 priests. At what they did was typically the priest served in the tabernacle twice a year. Okay? And so there was a group of them that would serve twice a year. And so it was his time to go and serve at the tabernacle. Now, how they picked the person that was going to be the one to go into the inner room. You know how they went into the inner room, right? They tied a rope on, and they had bells on their cells, and as they walked around, you could hear the bells ringing. Why'd they do that? Because if you went in unworthy, it said the scripture says that God would strike them dead. And so think about this. All right, I'm a priest, and I'm going in to sacrifice and do the incense before the altar, and I'm going in, and you're standing out there, and you're listening for my bell, and it doesn't ring, you're going to pull me out. What's that say about me as a priest if I got to be pulled out? I guess I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, right? But anyhow, Zacharias was chosen. This was by a casting of lots. You could only do this once in a lifetime. Okay? Once in a lifetime. That's how honored and special this was, okay? You may never, as a high priest, you may never get to do this. But they would take and they would cast lots from out of these 20,000. They'd take maybe narrow it down to like 2,000. And all of a sudden, and they only did this, what? Huh? Okay. So it's not like it's every week they're casting lots to see and narrow them out. And so Zechariah gets chosen. The lot falls on Zechariah. First off, when a lot falls on you, you're very honored. Okay? Second off, you got some thoughts in your mind. Am I worthy? Okay, so you look at the scripture there, and it says they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in the commandments. See, I have this all memorized. For those of you that say, can I see in the back of my head? No, we got it in the back, too. We got it in the back, too. So we can see it, too. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren. They were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God, in the appointed order of the division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Okay? And so we come to this point. You got Zechariah, who was living a righteous life, who walked in to the temple. He's got his rope on, his bells. Old hat, right? He has never done this before. Once in a lifetime. Okay? Once in a lifetime. Think about that. It was his time to go in. And he goes in, and he's preparing and doing the incense, and lo and behold, an angel stands before him, and he was frightened. Guess what, folks? I bet his first thought was, uh-oh, they're going to pull me out. What did I do wrong, God? And the angel of the Lord appears to him and says he was troubled when he saw the angel and fear gripped him. Wait a minute, angels are good things, right? Not always. And that's what my Christmas touch message this morning is, not all touches are good. Not all touches from God are good. Not all blessings from God are exactly the way we want it. Oh, and there is some consequences when God wants to bless us and we really don't want the blessing. Now, who would not want a blessing? But look at this scenario. The angel says, don't be afraid. I come to tell you, you're going to bear a son. And what was Zechariah's immediate reaction? You will have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great in his sight. Will drink no wine. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And while he's yet in his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord God. Great news, right? He will be always a forerunner, and in him the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And Zechariah says to the angel, I'm an old man. My wife's old. We've been barren for a long time. How do I know? See, Zechariah questioned the angel. Here was the angel to tell Zechariah that God was going to bless him tremendously, answer his prayers, give him a son who was going to be the forerunner of Jesus. And Zechariah says, yeah, right. Has God ever wanted to bless you and you said, yeah, right? You see, I think sometimes we get so much in that dwelling in the pain I started that we have pain at this time of the year. We miss people. We get tired of the repetition. I think we get so much caught up in that that sometimes we forget the blessing of God that's really there. And we don't see it. Or he wants to bless us and we don't accept it. You know, do we praise God 7 times a day? How many of you could raise your hand and say, honestly, every day of my life, I praise God 7 times at least. David said, I praise him 7 times a day. We get caught up in all the stuff of life and God wants to touch us. But we say, Yeah, right, God. Yeah, you want to touch me then. Mm-hmm. Sure, huh? Yeah, right. I believe you. See, sometimes God has a blessing in store for us that we question. And we say, yeah, you know, I trust you. I'm faithful. I'm righteous. But God, I really don't believe that you're going to do that for me. And that's where Zechariah was at this point. He questioned what God was going to do. He says, how I know for certain? The answer said, I am Gabriel. He said, here's how you'll know for certain. You're not going to be able to speak until it happens. Wait a minute. God, you're going to bless me, but I can't do anything about it. I can't tell anybody. I can't. See, I said sometimes the touch of God comes with consequences. Remember when Jacob wrestled with God? What happened? God touched him, huh? God touched him. That was great. I wrestled with God and he touched me. Now I limp for the rest of my life. Well, here was Zechariah. And he questioned the angel sent from God to tell him the good news. He questioned because maybe he didn't quite believe after all these years it could happen. Did you ever get to that point in life where God told you this could happen, but you said, yeah, right. Have you ever got to the point where someone you had been praying for all your life and they're nearing death and you say, well, God's not, they're never going to get saved? Or you saw somebody that was so bad that you said they could never change. We question how God works at times. And so Zechariah says, well, how do I know this? And the angel says, well, because I am Gabriel. That's how you know it. I'm telling you who I am. I'm Gabriel. Did Zechariah know who Gabriel was? Absolutely. He was a very religious, devout man. And he knew that Gabriel was an angel of God. And he says, I'm Gabriel. And he says, but just so you know for sure, you can't speak any longer for the next how many months? And Zechariah was touched by God. Now, when you look at that aspect, and I call this a Christmas touch, God wants to touch us in a special way at Christmas time. He wants to touch us all year, but, you know, Christmas time, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating the birth of his son. And so God wants to bless us tremendously at this time of the year, but we get so caught up in all the other stuff that sometimes we fail to believe that God is going to do something good for us this year. That God is going to touch us. We get so caught up in life. You know, we get so caught up in the things that we know. I mean, what did Zechariah get caught up in the fact that he was old? Okay? Now, okay, let me put it nicely. Zechariah was in his 60s, maybe 70s. Okay? Anybody here in their 60s or 70s? Okay. All right. All you above 60, raise your hand. Okay. All right. Let me see those hands again. I want to see who I can pick on this morning. I'm going to pick on Georgia. Yeah, I'm going to pick on Georgia. Hey, Chuck, Georgia's going to have a baby. Georgia's saying, no. See, our immediate reaction is, we relate to Zechariah, don't we? Huh? God tells us something that we look at and we say, God, okay, I know you're God, but God, I'm not sure I believe you on this one. How many can relate to that? Huh? I can relate to that. If God told me that Judy was going to have a baby, I'd say, first off, God, why are you punishing me? I'm old. I'm not good with kids. I admit that, right? That I love kids, but I want to be able to send them home at night. You know? That's what happens when you get old. You know, you want to send your grandkids home at night. You know, not that we don't love them, but we get used to being old. Right? How many of you over 60 want a child? No. We've done that, been there, had our time. And here was Zechariah, he wanted a child, but he had all their life been barren. And now this angel says to him, first off, like I said, he was really scared because when the angel showed up, I think he thought the bell was done ringing. You know? Think about it. It was his first time going in there, his only time in life, and he goes up and says, an angel shows up. Now, you think he's talked to other priests that have gone in there? How many of them would have said to him, oh, well, an angel was waiting there for me? Most of them wouldn't have said that because if their bell quit ringing, they didn't say anything anyhow. Right? But here was Zechariah, and the first thing he sees is an angel. And he looks at this angel, and he's already in shock. He's already, you know, and you know, he's fearful that, all right, the bell's going to stop ringing. And here I am. And then this angel tells me, all right, you're 70 years old, but you're going to have a baby. See, there was a whole lot of mixed things going on here with Zechariah. And he was sitting there and looking at all these things. And at this point, the angel says to him, you're going to have a son. He's going to be this forerunner. When Zechariah realized that it was all truth, what do you think his response was? At that point, now he's excited, right? And the angel says, oh, by the way, because you questioned God, you're not going to be able to speak. He comes out of the temple, and the first thing people see is this expression on his face of joy, of extreme excitement. And I'm sure they said to him, Zechariah, what went on in there? Can you really express how you feel without saying, an angel told me I'm going to have a son? See, he was touched by God, and he was blessed by God. But there were consequences to that blessing because he didn't believe. God has blessings for us. He wants to bless us. And especially in the Christmas season, he has blessings for us. You have to be looking for those, but you have to believe. And when God says, I'm going to bless you. Really, God? I'm so caught up in my Christmas shopping, or I'm so caught up in, you know. I've gotten to the point in my life. My family knows this too. I could care less whether we celebrated Christmas as a holiday for the world. With the Christmas tree and the lights and all, you know. Do I like that stuff? Yeah. You know, Joe came down from hunting the other night and he saw me out in the yard and I was putting a light up for the one of those laser lights that shines the red and green stuff and that and stuff, you know. And so that our house was lit up, you know, because my wife wanted it. I could care less about the lights and about all that stuff. Because, see, for me, the importance of Christmas is being missed. the world is getting so caught up in the aspects of Christmas that they're missing the point of Christmas. So here Zechariah goes into the holiest of holies to do his honorable service to God, and God tells him, I'm going to bless you. And he truly does miss the point. Now, he gets excited, and he understands it's going to happen after the angel says, well, just because you question, you're not going to be able to speak. Jacob wrestled with God all night, and God hit him on the hip, struck him. Was he blessed? Sure, but it came with consequences because he didn't believe. And so Zechariah was blessed. But he got this unexpected news, but he wasn't sure exactly what was going on until the angel said, well, here, now you know. Now you know. The thing is, how many of you would have acted any different than Zechariah? You think you might have acted the same way? I probably might have. Maybe might have is a light word, but I probably would have. Not might have, would have. You know, and when we look at that and apply that to our lives, think about it. Zechariah was in a rut, wasn't he? They'd been trying for years and he had given up. He had been trying to reach that relative for years and I'm giving up. There's no hope. I can't reach him. I can't get them to love God. I can't get them to follow God. I've been trying to do this my way for years and it doesn't work, so I'm just not going to do it anymore. Zechariah was in a rut. Because, see, when the angel told him, his first thing was, yeah, right. Yeah, right. He was experiencing a supernatural opportunity for a blessing. And he was still stuck in the natural aspect of life. Think about that. See, he had this opportunity for a once-in-a-lifetime blessing. This is God's doing something for him that he thinks is impossible. And he's stuck in the natural side of life saying it is impossible. See, what you're telling me, God, is it's impossible. Wait, I think there was a scripture that says nothing's impossible with God. Is that in the scripture? Do we really believe it? Do we really believe it? Think about it in your heart right now. Do you really believe that there is nothing impossible with God? Do we live like that? That we believe that there is nothing impossible with God? Zechariah believed in God. Zechariah was very faithful. Zechariah was considered righteous in the sight of God. Yet, when God wanted to bless him in a tremendous way, he said, how do I know? How do I know? God, how do I know that you can do everything? And God says, look around you. Look around you. Do you folks, most of you here would say no. I don't know if anybody here. Do you really think that people, when they look around this earth, can really say, yeah, one little cell a long, long time ago created all this. You believe in coincidence? I mean, that would be a coincidence of all coincidences, huh? Yeah, God created the heavens and the earth and man and animals and all that stuff. And yet people still look around and they say, oh, yeah, this all started from one little cell that got struck by lightning or something, and it all of a sudden decided to live. To me, that's harder to believe than what I believe in. You know? But here was Zechariah. He believed God. And he was being blessed. And he questioned the blessing. So Zechariah was given the gift of silence. Boy, my wife would love that for me. Zechariah was given the gift of silence. You will not be able to speak. Think about that. If you can't talk, what do you got to do? Huh? You can make some motions with your hand. If you can't speak at all, what are you going to do? Write it down? What else? What is the other part to conversation besides speaking? About time. I didn't think that one was that hard. Listening. Right? On every conversation, you have a speaking and listening. See, for most of us, it's the speaking part. We don't listen very well. I said it was a gift from God. God gave Zechariah this blessing and then said, for the next 9 months, you're going to be quiet. And guess what? During that time that you're not able to speak, what are you going to do? You're going to listen. You're going to listen. God wants us to see in this whole picture is that he's here to bless us. Okay? We can accept that blessing or we can question the blessing. It's still going to happen. Do you think when God touched Jacob's hip that it was a blessing from God? I'll bet every time he took a step and that hip hurt, he remembered, I got this from God. Huh. I got this from God. God got tired of my persistence and did this so that I'd remember. You think every time Paul, whatever the thorn in the flesh was, that it bothered him, what did he think about? Huh? And every time Zechariah wanted to tell somebody about this wonderful blessing, what did he have to do? It took an effort for him to tell what he was saying after that, huh? He had to write it down or he had to get, you know. Did he have to think and say, all right, this is from God. I got this from God. Zechariah was in the rut of life. He was in that, oh, this is the way it's been. This is the way it's always going to be. I'm never going to have any kids because we've tried and tried and tried and tried. And now we're old. And God blessed him. And he was able, during this time, to really focus on what was important, that God had touched his life. In a special way. Because he was unable to speak. God wants to touch us in this Christmas season in the same manner. God wants us to realize that he's there. He hears our cries. He knows our pain. He knows our disappointments. And he wants to be there for us. But in this time of the year that we get so caught up with the Christmas rush and we get so caught up with looking back and thinking and stuff like that, you know? And I'll tell you, my father's been gone for 34 years. You know, he was 53 years old when he was killed. I was 30 years old. I still look at Christmas, and I think, you know, I can remember when, you know, he spent time with Heather and Amber. Heather was 5 when he died, and Amber was 2. And I'll sit there at times and I'll think, you know, wouldn't Dad be surprised at these two young ladies? Wouldn't Dad? And I see myself focusing on that instead of the here and now and saying, all right, my dad was special in my life for certain things. How can I be special in others' lives? You know? God wants us to realize, and this is a time of the year when we do a lot of reflection. This is a time of the year when we get caught up in a lot. And God wants to realize in this Christmas season is, I have a special touch for you. I have a special touch for you. I don't know what it is. For Zechariah, it was the blessing of a kid in his old age. A special touch. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what God has in store for each one of you. Some of you feel maybe that I'm not worth very much anymore. You know, especially as we get older, don't we start to look at our worth and say, man, I just can't do what I used to be able to do. You know? Some of us get so caught up in our life's work that we fail to realize there's other things. And we think that, you know, I really thought back even 5 years ago that I'd never retire. I could not see myself leaving. I loved what I was doing. Okay, I loved the interaction with other people. I loved to solve the problems. It was great. And I looked at my life and I said, I just don't think I could retire. And people ask me today, when they find out that I've retired, do you miss it? You know what? God has filled my life with so many other things. I thought when I was retired, I'd lose some of my value. You know? Some of my value to the world, some of my value to humanity, being able to solve problems and stuff. God says, well, just because you retired from Penn United, you didn't retire from life. Do I still have value? Yes. Are there still, Dave and I talked about this a little bit this morning. You know, one of the things that God has blessed me with is the ability to mentor others. I've always been in that mode of mentoring others. You know, do I have others still to mentor? Yes. Do I have others still to teach? Yes. Yeah, I've been teaching adults since I was 21 years old in Sunday school. When I was 21 years old and I started teaching adults that were 3 times my age, I sat there and I said, why am I doing this, God? I can't do this. Fortunately, I'm not teaching them 3 times my age anymore, but I'm still teaching adults. And I always used to tell God, I'm not a teacher. And God said, don't worry about it. He said, I'll use you in the way I want to do it. Zechariah got his value back in his son. God wants to bless us and give you value. So when we look at our lives and we look at our disappointments and we maybe, you know, just get crushed by the overwhelming hecticness of Christmas. And believe me, at times it's very overwhelming, isn't it? God's saying to us today, I want to touch you. I want to touch you in a special way this season. I want to touch you in a way that's beyond all belief. And our response can be like Zechariah, yeah, right. And it could be a painful touch. See, that's the good thing about God. Sometimes when God wants to bless us and we don't believe, he still blesses us. We sometimes got to pay some consequences, but he still blesses us. Zechariah didn't get to talk, but was that a blessing? Well, he had to listen a lot. He had to listen a lot. He had to spend a lot of time. I'm sure he had to spend a lot of time with God. You know, listening and saying, God, all right, hey, God, I know it takes 9 months for this event to happen, but could we rush it a little bit? Because I really want to tell people about this. And God says, nah, yes. I'm touching you. I'm giving you a blessing, but there's some consequences. But I want you to understand that even though we're crushed by the tempter, even though we're buried in the hecticness, even though we have all this stuff that we look at will not get done. How many is ready for Christmas? I am. You know why I'm ready for Christmas? I don't Christmas shop. I don't buy Christmas presents. My wife and I agreed years ago there's nothing we need to buy each other because, you know, if we need it, we go and get it when we need it, you know. So there's nothing we need to buy each other. Yeah, once in a while I will stop in Bath & Beauty and get her some of that smelly junk that she likes to put on her hands and stuff like that, you know. But that's the extent of it, you know. I don't Christmas shop. I don't Christmas shop for anybody, really. You know, as far as I'm concerned, and you can ask my daughter, they say, well, what do you want for Christmas, Dad? I have a typical answer. Nothing, really. You don't need to spend your money to get me anything. I don't need anything. You know? Most of us don't need what we get for Christmas, right? It's a desire. And where does that come from? From the world saying, well, it's got to be a big celebration about gifts and trees and lights. Let's this year turn ourselves off to that. And let's turn us on to God's blessing. Because he has something in store for each one of you this year. You know? You can be in pain today. You can be wrestling with all the things that are weighing you down. But God says this morning, let me touch you. Let me touch you in a way beyond your belief. That's what he did to Zechariah. Zechariah didn't believe that it could happen. But God still blessed him anyhow. But he said, but because you questioned, here's what you're going to pay the price on. Let's not question when God says, I want to bless you this year. I want to bless you in this season. Let's let God touch us in the way he wants to touch us.